Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Low center of gravity, a nice way of saying he's very short.
Yeah.
But very effective. Now Burrow going to launch downfield for Chase. Who's got it? Touchdown, LSU. It took a while, but the Bayou Bengals offense says join the party.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. From the student section behind the goal line on Saturdays to the buzzer beaters of the madness of March, welcome to episode number 8 of Bowl Games and Brackets. I am Joe, and I am joined by my compadre, Darren. And we are here to take you through the world of college football and basketball. From the rivalries and underdogs to the legendary performances, we will be your guide. From your dorm to the tailgate, we have you covered each and every week. Sit back, relax, and enjoy. And welcome to week one, Darren, as we're off to the races.
Joe, we have football on the way and a full slate of it. We already have games on the way. About to kick off the Alberto Mendoza era over with Georgia Tech against primetime in Colorado. Wake Forest rolling against Akron. We're looking at UMass rolling at Rutgers, a Big Ten team looking to get blown out at home. You know, college football is here and ready to roll, Joe. So many exciting things to talk about. Games aplenty we're going to talk about. But we got a little bit of news this week, Joe. And where else would it center than around the great Lane Kiffin and LSU?
Oh, God. This is starting out. This season has all been about Lane Kiffin. Since the crazy departure from Ole Miss right before the playoffs till now, he seems to be in the news each and every week. And again today, more courtroom drama. As a judge now is the SEC. I have to check it again because it keeps changing by the hour, though, these stories. But right now, there's been a SEC filed a lawsuit against LSU over the school's desire to play pro athletes. And this was in the U.S. District Court of Alabama on Thursday, earlier today, alleging the university is violating the league's First Amendment right of and by ignoring the SEC rules that prohibit signing and playing former NFL players. This sounds like, Darren, we're going to talk a little bit more about this game this weekend, but this is going to go down right up until kickoff on Saturday night, because now LSU might go out and try to find a Louisiana judge who's going to overturn what they did here in Alabama. It's going to be a back and forth, each and every week, it seems, all the way up until kickoff.
It's fun in the SEC, Joe, because we're going to have Louisiana judges taking on Texas judges, taking on Alabama judges, taking on Mississippi judges, taking on Tennessee judges, taking on South Carolina judges. Every state against Louisiana is what would be what we get here. Lane Kiffin makes no friends anywhere he goes. It never changes. This is who he is. He's trying to use every advantage he can. You know, listen, do you blame him for such things? Probably not. But at the end of the day, none of us want to see pro athletes coming back and playing in college.
Yeah. And I still stand by my prediction in our SEC preview that Lane Kiffin is not the coach of this team by the end of the season. And I have a feeling he might go out this way. I would have thought it was going to be a poor record, but he may go out this way. So it's going to be interesting right up to kickoff. But now you have even more news that's coming.
Well, my news is not as exciting, but UCLA has fired athletic director Martin Jarmon. He fired him on Monday. Apparently, the boosters and the donors stopped writing checks like a long time ago. He has not instilled the excitement in UCLA sports. I am a UCLA fan. I do root for the team. But Martin Jarmon gets passed over here. Tim Harris comes in. former Lakers executive, to be the interim GM, AD, I should say, not GM, sorry. But yeah, we're UCLA, you know, they do this, but they also get behind Bob Chesney a little bit more and say that we're still fully committed to the program. But apparently they're hemorrhaging a little bit of money in Westwood, Joe.
It's incredible. It's incredible how much money these schools have and that they're, in a sense, mismanaging it. It's unreal. It's unreal. And a big name like UCLA.
Yeah, absolutely. And then there was one more piece of news before we get into the game.
It just happened earlier today. Michael Lombardi resigned as GM and right-hand man of Bill Belichick at North Carolina. No major details were given. It's just that he resigned. It's in the middle of an investigation for allegations against him by a human resources investigation. So right now, he resigned. He's out of the picture. And North Carolina continues on without Michael Lombardi. But we do have games to get to, Darren. And I think we're going to start off in, an ACC team going up against an SEC team. But this one is happening in Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, listen, we have the only ranked matchup of the weekend, okay? We have number 24 Louisville taking on number 9 Ole Miss. Sunday night, this is a kind of a, I don't know, ABC 7:30. It's going to go head-to-head with Notre Dame, Wisconsin. So if you got two screens, great night to have them both on. All right, listen, Louisville's got a few ways that they can win this game, okay? Their biggest advantage in this game is the D-line, Joe, okay? They have edge rushers that can make, you know, make Trinidad Chambliss uncomfortable, and they have to figure out a way to make him beat them from the pocket. So they're going to have to sit there and put that pressure on. They're going to have to find a way to contain Trinidad Chambliss. I know you're very high on Chambliss.
I mean, are they going to be able to stop him? Guy ran through for over 3,000 yards. He was all over the place. He only ran for 500 last year, but he was all over that Sugar Bowl game. And, you know, it's very important, Trinidad Chambliss. They have to stop him, but if they stop him, they still have to try to stop Kawan Lacy. So they have it's a dual threat coming out there against Ole Miss. I mean, they're going to try to stop Chambliss, but then they're going to deal with Lacy. And then if they stop Lacy, they have to watch out for Deuce Alexander and Darnell Gill on as the receivers. So there's a chance that, you know, he's going to throw the ball deep. So, you know, really, Louisville better come and be prepared.
I mean, the biggest advantage Louisville has is that defensive front, okay? The Ole Miss offense's line is not going to be really ready for Clev Lubin, who had 8.5 sacks last year, A.J. Green on the other side, linebackers T.J. Capers, Antonio Watts. This team's good. They have the ability to stop the run. They were 10th nationally against the run last year. Clev Lubin coming back is huge. But the other thing that they do really well is the opposite end. They run the ball really well, Joe. Isaac Brown gives them a weapon. And they have a new quarterback, so they're going to have to rely on Isaac Brown to run the ball against Ole Miss. They're going to have to try to create chunk plays through the ground, through, you know, short passing game with Isaac Brown. They're going to have to try to control the clock. And they're going to have to sit there and try to make it easier on new quarterback Lincoln Kindholz. And I know he's new quarterback, but he was from Ohio State, so you know he's ready to play big time. He was a highly recruited guy, Joe. So Louisville does have advantages in this game, despite the fact Ole Miss would be the better team on paper, Joe.
But don't forget, Ole Miss has Will Echols, who's returning, and he was a Sugar Bowl defensive MVP last year. And they have a new quarterback in Jalen Crawford. They're coming. They're going to be bringing it. They brought in. They have Luke Farrelly, a linebacker, who's a new one in. He was the ACC Defensive Freshman of the Year, so he's already gone up against these guys. They're going to be here ready to go. I don't think Ole Miss is going to sit back. You know, I have a feeling they're going to blow the doors off them, and they're going to play very, very well. Pete Golding's got a lot to prove, you know, because this is his first opener. You know, this is him coming in. This is a good chance for him. I mean, this is going to be a good game for him.
I think Louisville's going to travel well in this game, and if Louisville can control that defensive line and make Chambliss, who said last year that this is the most difficult and disciplined defense he went up against, This is an interesting matchup. I don't think it's a – we're not Lee Corso, but not so fast, everybody, thinking that the higher-ranked Ole Miss team's going to run away with this game. We're going to get the picks on this one in a little bit, but this one should be really exciting. Joe, we have three other real exciting games, though. One of them takes place at Outson Stadium, Joe. Let's talk about that one.
The Oregon Ducks. There's my national championship pick, and they get off to play Boise State. It's going to be interesting. This is a Pac-12. This would have been an old-school Pac-12 game or a Mountain West Pac-12 game back in the day. But Boise State up against Oregon. And you have to remember, they played 2 years ago, and Boise State had them on the ropes till the end of the game. Oregon couldn't shake them. They needed the last-second field goal to knock off Boise State. But Oregon comes in. They're locked and loaded. Dante Moore trying to get a Heisman Trophy, trying to come back and win a national championship. He's got Dave Lully is back this week. He was out for a little bit, but he is going to be starting and protecting him. They brought in a wide receiver and freshman Jalen Law. So they adding him to their the rest of the wide receiver core. I had something. Wait a second here. 1 second. Sorry about that.
No problem. You know, lots of info.
He's got the Thunder and Lightning in the backfield with Jordan Davison and De'Aaron Hill. So they're ready to go. They do have a little bit of the right side of the offensive line is new, but they get used to running behind them. So they should be good. They should be all set. On the offensive side of the ball, they're going after Boise State now. Their defense is ready to go. Do you want to talk about a little bit about Boise on their defense?
I'll talk about it on both ends here. Here's what Boise has to do, okay? They have to make more uncomfortable. They have to pressure them, but they have to do it without blitzing all day because they'll get picked apart. They got to disrupt his rhythm, force him off a spot, make him play long fields. They can't give up the big play. Listen, Oregon's better than Boise, okay? They have more talent. Boise doesn't have to outplay him for 60 minutes. But what Boise has to do is they have to be better in big moments. They have to make a big play here, a big play there. They have to make enough explosive plays on offense to really kind of do some damage. And on defense, they have to make them use the full field. They got to see if Dante Moore will be patient enough to do that. That's what it's going to come down to for this team. I mean, you know, they have Maddox Mattson back. Okay, he almost won there 2 years ago in a thriller. They lost by the field goal at Outson, right? He's not afraid of the stadium. They're not afraid of the uniforms. They have a couple of big-time backs in Dylan Riley and Cyrus Gaines. They almost rushed for 2,000 yards last year, 18 touchdowns. They have a productive backfield. They already showed that they can play at Oregon tough. They have a six-year senior quarterback that knows what he's doing. There are ways that they can find a way to win this game. They're not out of it, is my point.
Okay, but Oregon still has a good defense. They have Bear Alexander, Amari Washington, Ugalde Tuliato. I can never say these guys' names, Tuliato. They have linebackers of Jerry Mixon and Devin Jackson. They're ready. They're going to be bringing it. And Oregon has a chip on their shoulder because everybody is saying, well, they're good enough to get there, but they're never going to win the national championship. So you know what? They got the chip on their shoulder. They're going to be coming out. I think they're going to be sending the full house early, and I think Oregon is going to try to take them out big time this week.
Well, yeah, that's the whole thing, Joe. I mean, again, Oregon's the better squad. You catch them week one before they're completely kind of gelling, which is an important part of this. You've already shown you can play at their place. They're not going to be able to put together 10-play drives. Oregon's defense is too good. You have to force Oregon to play full field, and they have to go make big plays here and there. That's going to be the difference for these two teams. I think that Boise State has a plan to get there. I'm not saying that they will, but I'm saying that they have a plan to get there.
You know, remember, they're playing without Ashton Gentry now this time.
Well, he's been gone for 2 years, Joe.
I know. But still, that was 2 years ago when they hung close. They had him. So Boise had him. So it's a little different of a team, so we'll see what happens, and we'll think about, you know, which way we're going to go later in the show.
Absolutely.
Now, there's another game I know we're going to be watching on Sunday night on NBC. It's going to be going head-to-head with the Louisville Ole Miss game, and that's going to take place in Lambeau Field, Wisconsin against Notre Dame, the Fighting Irish. And what do you think about that one, D?
10 years ago, my friend, this is the matchup of the weekend. But Wisconsin is falling on hard times. This isn't the same. This isn't your big brother's Wisconsin Badger team. The Luke Fickell regime has not gone well. Actually, they haven't done much in several nuances since the heyday here. And they need Wisconsin. We need Wisconsin to be good. Okay. The thing is that Notre Dame is so complete. I mean, listen, they can sit there, they can start fast, they can put Wisconsin in catch-up mode. Wisconsin won't be able to do anything, and they can run away and hide. C.J. Carr, everything you're reading is he's grown tremendously off last year already, and he's doing it against one of the best defenses in the country in practice every day, which is his own. And because that defense is going to make Colton Joseph, have to beat you from the pocket, and we don't know if Colton Joseph can do that. I mean, I feel like if Notre Dame gets out fast, this game can get ugly and over real, real quick, Joe. How does Wisconsin keep pace?
Well, Colton Joseph, he's an ODU transfer, so he hasn't played the big, big, big games. But he does have wide receiver Eugene Hilton Jr., and he's got Oklahoma State transfer Jameer Rigby and Minnesota transfer Malachi Coleman to help him out. Well, they also have a running game, Abu Sama III. So they have a chance to get the ball to him. But Luke Fickell, he's in a jam. He's on the hot seat, and this is going to be a big game for him. Wisconsin, you know what? They last time they played in Lambeau, they played against LSU, and LSU was ranked number 5, and they did beat them 16-14 in an upset.
That was a different Wisconsin team, my friend.
I hear you.
Notre Dame's going to have Boubacar Traore coming off 7.5 sack season last year, leading that defensive front. And this isn't like the Wisconsin offensive lines that we used to. They can really run this team over, and they can make it really, really hard on them. C.J. Carr is a huge advantage in the quarterback in this game. Notre Dame speed at receiver with Quincy Porter and Mylon Graham. I mean, these guys are great. They also bring great
Harris.
These guys are great. And Nais Williams makes people miss. He's pretty good. I mean, listen, he's replacing two stud running backs. But Nais Williams, not related, also can do a lot. I mean, Notre Dame's got a ton of advantages in this game. I don't know how Wisconsin's going to keep this one close, Joe. Well,
they might hang in there. Mason Posa on the as a linebacker, as an edge blitzer, if he can get in there at any point, he can do some destruction. They have Cooper Catalano. They have a chance. Wisconsin's not going to be completely dead. They got to hang tough, kind of like that Boise. What we talked about, Boise State. You got to stop them, and you got to get lucky on offense. Colton Joseph's going to have to make some stuff happen himself. Maybe they break a hole for Abu Sama, and they have a shot to get he breaks one, and they get a score here and there. The defense is going to have to step up and play lights out and at least try to hold Notre Dame in check. The key for them will be keeping the game as low scoring as possible to just have an opportunity at the end.
All right, Joe, now we get to the big one. Here we are, Tigers versus Tigers. Two teams that play in Death Valley, Joe.
Yeah.
We have the matchup, Clemson versus number 11 LSU. The LSU Tigers, the 10-point home favorite. This game's ABC, Saturday night, 7:30. It's the matchup of matchups, and we get to sit there and see which of these teams gets off to the better start. For this season, is Clemson just going backwards? This is an unranked Clemson team to start the season, something you wouldn't have thought of a couple of years ago. Now suddenly they're not even ranked. LSU highly ranked, but they have 40-plus transfers, Joe.
Oh, God. He's got this game, Joe. He not only has transfers, he's got guys coming in from parts unknown. So he's bringing in NFL guys, Lane Kiffin. He's bringing in everybody. But it starts with transfer quarterback Sam Levitt. He's playing in the game no matter what. And they have they brought in an offensive tackle in Jordan Seaton from Colorado. So, they have players. Forget about bringing in guys. If they can't play those guys, they're going to have a decent team anyway. He's got a good team together. Jace Brown, Eugene Wilson III as wide receivers. He's got receivers. He's got a running back in Caden Durham. He's got a good team, Sam Levitt. Offensive coordinator Charlie Weiss Jr., he's ready to go. So I think LSU's going to put up points. and they're gonna go toe to toe, you know, with Clemson. Now, can Clemson do it? What do you think Clemson's got?
Clemson comes in. They come in with Christopher Vezina to take over a quarterback, and again, he's gonna be. I don't know. He's replacing Klubnik, who obviously did not get to the levels that past Clemson quarterbacks had, but it's still big shoes to fill. This is what it comes down to. Clemson's going to have to keep the LSU defense a bit off balance. They haven't had a chance to gel yet. That's what they're kind of banking on. LSU, again, more talent. Clemson, more cohesion. They 12 transfers. These guys stay around at Clemson a little bit more. Dabo preaches the old school way, which, you know, as an old school guy, I kind of appreciate, but it almost looks like the game's passing them by at the same time, right? So what they're looking for is to find a way to make Vezina comfortable in this game. They got to give him the protection up front. The O-line, not as experienced as you'd like to see. I wish that a little bit more experience. They have two guys that have double-digit starts in their career, so they're going to have to really play above the level, especially in a road game in Death Valley at night. That's not an easy place to play. But there are advantages that Clemson has, Joe. Their wide receivers are great. Brian Wesco Jr. and T.J. Moore could beat up the LSU secondary if Vezina gets time. They're just that good. Chad Morris, the OC, he's a push-the-ball vertically kind of OC. So he's going to try to throw the ball down the field. Clemson also has a little more, like I said, with the continuity. That's the other advantage. And the defense is going to have to make this a physical game on Sam Levitt. They're going to have to land on him extra. When he goes down, someone's going to have to land on him again. They're going to have to make Sam Levitt uncomfortable. Again, the talent goes to LSU, in my opinion, Joe. But I think Clemson has a couple of advantages they have to take advantage of. Joe, what is it about LSU that you really like in this one?
Well, true. The LSU does have a good defense. They have two quarterbacks that are returning, DJ Pickett and PJ Woodland. So they can hang with those receivers at Clemson. So there's no guarantee that Clemson's going to get there. But they're going to be bringing it on the edge. They got Prince William, Umana Layan, and TJ Dottery. And then they have two new defensive tackles that came in. Lamar Brown and Richard Anderson. So they're going to be bringing it just as well. LSU is built on this defense. Like all these guys that they're bringing in that are NFL caliber guys that might be coming back, forget about them. The team that they had was going to be decent and good. So I think they're going to be hanging with Clemson. There's going to be a lot of pressure on the quarterback for Clemson, and he's going to have to hang in that pocket if he's going to want to make and get those receivers open. If he even has the opportunity to.
The key is going to be the Clemson O-line versus the LSU D-line. That's what it's really come down to in this matchup. If Clemson gets time, if Clemson wins that matchup, they can win this game. If they don't win that matchup, they don't have a shot of winning this game on the road. If it was at the other Death Valley, maybe, but not at this Death Valley. So it's going to come down to the Clemson O-line. If they can protect Vezina, they have a chance to win. And you know what? If they can put pressure and they can bother, Levitt, that will only help them. But Clemson's going to be, I think Clemson's more physical. I just don't know if they have as much talent. That's what it's going to come down to, Joe.
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. I'm trying. I want to see some. I want to see what the forecast is down there on Saturday night. it's always key. 80 degrees, 20% chance of rain. Okay. You know what? Because it gets wild down there in Baton Rouge on the Saturday night.
Listen, Joe, we have a lot of games that we're going to touch on. A couple that we're not going to get too heavy into, but just kind of mention that the games to watch this week. Right now we have Colorado-Georgia Tech. You got Prime trying to bring Colorado back from a horrible season. Georgia Tech, who's had several winning seasons on the brink, but now doing it without Haynes King. So we're going to see what they bring together. Tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, FS1. We get Toledo at Michigan State. Not often that you really highlight a game like this. The spread's only 10 in this one. Michigan State's the Pat Fitzgerald era. We're going to see what happens there. We have Friday at 9 o'clock on Fox. All these times are Eastern, by the way. I'm not going to sit there and go back and forth. Fresno State at USC. Mayava played great last week for USC. Now he goes up against a Fresno State team new to the Pac-12. It's going to be a little bit more pressure than he had last week. Let's see how they do. Saturday at 6 o'clock, the Border War. Nobody talks about it, but Wyoming and Colorado State is a matchup with two teams that just do not like each other. On USA, by the way. Catch that one. Saturday at noon, Oregon State, Houston. Houston's a team people are looking at. Maybe they have a chance. Going to have to start by beating the newly formed Pac-12 Oregon State team. That game's on ESPN. Baylor at Auburn playing also on Saturday. 3:30 ABC playing in Atlanta. Neutral site game. These are two teams that have been proud and have been humbled. One of them's going to take a step forward, Joe. Then we have Cincinnati, BC. Same time, 3:30 Saturday on Fox. These are two teams that have been humbled for a while. But if one of them wants to take a step forward, this is the game, and BC gets them at home. Cincinnati's a little bit better. Then we get to see the Arch Manning start Saturday, 3:30 on ESPN. Get all four screens in the house going, Joe. We have Texas State as they join the Pac-12, taking on Texas, so that should be exciting. And then one last one before we get to the other games, we're going to give you a quick little update on Oklahoma State at Tulsa. This is a border war. A lot of people like what Oklahoma State's going to do offensively. They have to go on the road here to Tulsa. So that's going to be interesting. That one's on the U at 3:45. So you get a 15-minute reprieve. Well, the other games all start at 3:30. But, Joe, even with all that, there's other games that we want to touch on real quick. And let's start it no further than Harrisonburg, Virginia, where Liberty comes to town, Joe.
Yep. To take on the James Madison Dukes Saturday at 12 noon on ESPNU. These are two schools that are 100 miles apart. This is only the second time they're playing. James Madison this year has a new coach in Billy Napier and a new offensive coordinator in Cam Akin who wants to run the ball. Liberty, they've got some veteran players. Their defense is probably going to keep it close. This is Conference USA against the Sun Belt. So these are conferences that are outside the Power Four, which means these teams are playing almost as these are like mini playoff games so that the committee can see how conferences stack up one against the other. So this could be a big game determined at the end of the season. You're there.
I lost your audio for a second. I'm sorry, okay. Pal.
No problem. So Conference USA against the Sun Belt and Liberty against SMU. So it should be JMU, I'm sorry. But this is a good way to compare the conferences to see, you know, where people are, where teams are for later in the season. If somebody does go on a roll and they're a 10-1 team or, 9-2, and they're up for one of the at-large bids. So I'm actually going to take in this game Liberty plus 6.5 at James Madison. I think the Liberty, having a veteran team, is going to be okay. So I'm going to go with Liberty on Saturday afternoon at noon.
School wrestling loser leave town match. The loser has no shot of getting into the playoff.
It's true. And now next up, we're going to talk about an old school one, the Apple Cup.
Listen, it doesn't get any better for me than the Apple Cup. We get Washington State. Big rivalry, but Washington's kind of controlled it lately. They've actually controlled it throughout the history, to be honest. They've won 20 of the last 27. But Kirby Moore, again, Washington State has to start all over again with a brand new coach in this epic battle. Here's the key, all right? Washington State has to keep DeMond Williams in the pocket. If they allow him to be a dual threat, it's going to be a long day for Wazoo because Washington, 17th-ranked team in the country, has a ton of talent. This game, by the way, Sunday, 4 p.m. on NBC. So it's leading the doubleheader. For Washington, they got to get pressure on Caden Pinnick. He was the freshman of the year, FCS All-American from Cal Davis. He's coming in again to try to lead Wazoo. He's going to have a chance to air it out. But if Wazoo isn't able to run the ball a little bit and keep the Washington physical defensive line off his back, Pinnick's going to have a long day. Really what it comes down to in this one is Washington is bigger and they're more talented. Washington State's going to have to find a way to just match the physicality of Washington in this game. Spread in this one going into it right now is 23.5. Washington is the favorite at home. And even though I'm a Wazoo guy, I think Washington's going to cover the spread on this one. I think they're going to pull away late. I think it'll be competitive for about 1.5 to 2 quarters, and then I think Washington wins this one. I'll say Washington finds a way to win this one 41-17. 41-14, I'll say. This way they cover it a little easier than that, Joe. Wow. Joe, another thriller that we're looking at, though. Battle of Michigan. Okay, we got boys from Kalamazoo heading into Ann Arbor, Joe. Tell me about it.
Saturday night, 7:30 on NBC, and we got Western Michigan, Michigan, the MAC up against the Big Ten. What's interesting about this is that the MAC has to – this is important for the MAC in terms of, you know, I keep talking about it, we keep talking about it, about these conferences that are out of the Power Four. This is their opportunity to show the country that they can hang with the big dogs. So even though Michigan might be the top four or five in the Big Ten, this is the chance for the MAC to get their name out there. So Western Michigan, they need a good showing. Michigan, though, they're showing off new coach Kyle Whittingham. He's going to be leading the team in. He's got Bryce Underwood, who should shine in this new under the new regime. And they brought with them wide receiver J.J. Buchanan, who, from what we're reading, he seems to be doing very, very well in practice. And that Michigan's looking for a big, big year out of J.J. Buchanan and Bryce Underwood. On the other side, Western Michigan, last year they were ninth in scoring defense and 17th in total defense. They also have a dual threat in quarterback Brock Lowry, who threw for 1,800 yards and 9 TDs and rushed for another 900 yards and 14 TDs, along with 1,000-yard rusher Jalen Buckley. So when I'm looking in this game, it's Michigan favored by 27.5, but I'm looking in a different direction. The points, the over-under is 48.5. I'm going to take the over in this game at 48.5. I have a feeling Michigan, Western Michigan is going to hang close. I think Michigan is going to put up some points as well. I'm thinking it's going to be like a 31-28, 31-24 game. So I'm looking at the over in this game of Michigan against Western Michigan. Now, I know you like to go out west for an ACC battle. And it's funny to say the ACC in the west, but you're looking at Miami and Stanford.
Listen, I'll tell you, this is an interesting one. Stanford coming off a win. Game is Friday night, ESPN, 9 p.m., always Eastern time. Miami's number 7 in the country, and they might have made the biggest splash with for one player in all of the transfer portal by bringing in Darian Mensah, who had an amazing year. And you know, listen, for me, Miami's got to let him just air it out early. Stanford does not have the weapons in the secondary to contain guys like Malachi Toney. They're going to have to figure out a way to get him open in space. If Miami can do this early and Stanford has to play from behind, Stanford's in trouble. Miami's big, they're physical, and Stanford's way of winning this game is going to be simple. They're going to have to contain Mensah, make him go the full length of the field, keep him out of rhythm. They're going to have to run the ball, control that clock, and just make it fewer possessions, just shorten the game. They got to make it where Davis Warren has enough time to make plays in the passing game to keep Miami from loading up the box. And somehow, some way, Stanford has to win the turnover and special teams battle. Sounds easy, but a blocked kick or a blocked punt or just great field position could be the difference on this one. Against Miami's the opposite. They got to sit there and make Davis Warren beat them. They're going to sit there and make big plays with Mensah, make Warren beat them, and, you know, make sure that, you know, that Davis Warren it does not have the time to throw it when they're doing that. And they also have to do something that, you know, people look past early in the season. Miami's supposed to win this game. They can't overlook Stanford. It's a conference game. It's a road game in conference. Stanford's coming off a win. Whether it was a great win or not is up to people's opinions, but they won it. And now Miami's first time trying to gel together with a new quarterback and everything else, coming off the disappointing last season loss in the championship game. We're going to find out what Miami can do here. The spread in this one is 24.5. As much as I like to see Stanford keep it close, I just don't think they have the firepower, Joe. I think that Miami's going to win this game, and I think they're going to put up 45 to 50 points in this game. I'd be surprised if Stanford scores more than 10. I'll say 45 to 10 will be the game. And last one we're going to throw for you, Ruffer, right now. We have the Battle of California. We got two new coaches and two teams looking to climb up. We got the Bruins and the Cal Berkeley Bears, Joe. Tell me about this one.
You know, it's going to be Saturday night at 10:30, and it's going to be on ESPN. The best part about this is that this is supposed to be a Pac-12 game, and it's actually the Big Ten against the ACC. This is how crazy this has become. So Bob Chesney's debuting with UCLA. He's got four JMU transfers on defense. UCLA, despite what happened earlier this week with Jarman being let go, I think they're all in for Chesney. I think UCLA is in a good spot right now. Cal's got a good quarterback in Jaron Kiev Sagapolte. I mean, really, have you given me every bad name to say?
JKS, Joe. JKS. He goes by. You don't need anything more than that.
He threw for 3,400 yards, 18 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. He finished the season with back-to-back 300-yard games. He's going to put up some points. I think UCLA, though, is going to come out. They're going to be strong. The spread's 2.5, and I'm going to take UCLA minus the 2.5. I think they win a game 24-20 on Saturday night, the late Pac-10 game, Pac-12 game.
Gotcha.
Now, you have one more you want to look at.
This is the Monday night thriller, standalone game, Joe. Labor Day night, SMU, Eric Dickerson, Craig. No, I'm sorry, wrong team. Florida State, Charlie Wood. No, wrong team. We have an SMU team that does have a really good player, best player in the field. Kevin Jennings is back again. He's the centerpiece of the offense for SMU. He's a tempo guy. He's a spread guy. They should be able to control the line of scrimmage because of what Kevin Jennings is able to do. Florida State's defense did not impress last week in the opener against New Mexico State. They're going to have to play a heck of a lot better this week, but they have had a week to gel. The key for SMU, if they can protect Jennings, they have a real shot to run away with this game. If they start fast, they start quick, and they take the crowd out of Doak Campbell Stadium, you know, SMU can win this game, and they can win it in a laugher. Spread in this one's only 3, by the way, so ESPN game 7:30. So it's not like everybody thinks that FSU is going to fall asleep. Here's what Florida State needs to do. They need to get Sam Singleton Jr. involved. He had 164 all-purpose yards last week. He's got to be the guy. They have to rely on him. He had 2 touchdowns as both a runner and a receiver. He's got to be the focal point. They got to get this kid in space. They got to sit there and make sure he gets a ton of touches. Defensive communication on third down. They struggled last week against New Mexico State. What? New Mexico State shouldn't be struggling against New Mexico State at home in week 1. They did. SMU's up-tempo could only make it more difficult. They're going to have to hopefully get all that together. Mike Norvell's team's going to have to sit there and gel. And if they can pressure Kevin Jennings without losing contain. Again, whenever we talk about these dual-threat quarterbacks, we talked about it with Chambliss. I'm talking about it again now here with Jennings. They're going to need to find a way to make sure he beats them from the pocket. If Kevin Jennings is a thrower, Florida State's got a fighter's chance here to win this game. Not really a fighter's chance. They have a good chance to win the game. If Kevin Jennings is running amok, it's going to be all SMU. Here's the thing. SMU's a 3-point favorite. A lot of people's darling to have a shot here at the ACC to really put a little threat into the ACC here and find a way to get through against Miami. A lot of people pick them for second. It's either them or Louisville usually. And I don't think they have much of a problem here. I think it'll be close, but I don't think it'll be that close. I'll say that SMU finds a way to win this one 31-17 at Florida State. And the Mike Norvell watch begins right away, Joe.
Oh, okay. Very nice. Very nice. Well, now we have to go back to the first 4 games that we talked about, the big ones this weekend, and give our predictions. So we're going to start off in Nashville with Louisville and Ole Miss. And I'm going to say, after all that, I'm looking at Trinidad, Chambliss, and Ole Miss to come out hot and win this game. I'm taking them minus 6.5. And I do think they put up a 35-20 win over Louisville.
And I'm going to go the other way, Joe. I think Louisville wins it outright. I think this starts off 0-1 in this one. I think it's a field goal game. I think Louisville wins it 27-24. I think Ole Miss just stubs their toe a little bit here. I think they take Louisville a little for granted. I think they think they're a little bit better than they are. I think Louisville's defensive line is able to stop Kawan Lazy, make Ole Miss one-dimensional, find a way to win this game at the end. I'm taking Louisville plus the 6.5, but I think that they might take him on the money line in real life. Joe, next matchup we wanted to talk about goes to Outzen, Joe. Yeah. Who do we like, Boise State or Oregon?
Okay, I have Oregon. I have Oregon to win the national championship. I'm big into Oregon. But you know what? I got burned last week in 2 games that had big spreads. Because what happened? They had big fourth quarter leads, and they let them get chipped away on. So I'm actually going to take Oregon to win this game outright, 45-28. But I think Boise covers the 24.5 Boise, and I'm taking Boise in the points because I do think Oregon's going to blow them out, but I think Boise's going to get one or two late scores to get a back door. And I'm going to go with Oregon winning 45-28, and I'm going to take Boise plus 24.5.
I also think that Oregon wins this game outright. And I also think that they don't cover this one. I think the game's a little more low scoring than you do. I think Oregon's going to put up 34. I think Boise will put up 14. I think that this game is, I think Oregon kind of controls this game. I think that they're just better. And I think that Boise battles the best that they can. Maybe a late touchdown to make sure that they guarantee the cover. I'll say Oregon wins by 20, but not the 24.5, Joe. Joe, let's go to Lambeau. We'll usually be talking Packers, but now we're talking Fighting Irish.
Yep, and I think the Fighting Irish, as much as I talked about Wisconsin having a chance, I don't think they do. I think Notre Dame, I talked about Oregon having a chip on their shoulder. Notre Dame has one on their shoulder as well. And I think Notre Dame is not going to stop until they punish everybody week after week this season. So I'm going to say Notre Dame blows out Wisconsin. I'm going to say it's going to be I'm going to say Wisconsin scores two field goals, but Notre Dame puts up 34-6. The Irish win. They cover the 21.5-point spread.
I agree with you again. Notre Dame is just better than Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin might score the first 7 points of this game and not score again. I think Notre Dame wins this one 41-7. I just think there's too much talent on this Notre Dame team. I am going with the Irish. So we're agreed on two, disagree on one. Let's see how we end it with the big one. Death Valley, Joe, Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Well, I can tell you this. The Tigers are going to win this game. That's the only guarantee I can give you on this one. But I am going to say I think there's too many distractions for LSU. I think Clemson in a stunner. I think they're going to win the game outright. I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be like 21-20. I do think Clemson can win this game outright. I have a feeling there's just too many distractions for LSU right now, and they're going to realize they should have never hired Lane Kiffin as coach. I mean, this could be terrible video at the end of the season if LSU runs the table. But I'm thinking Clemson, I think they're going to stun them on the road on Saturday night, 21-20. I'm
going to
go with Clemson.
I'm going to say LSU wins the game, but I think Clemson is going to cover it. I think it's going to be real close. I gave you a lot of reasons why I think Clemson can keep it close. I think that LSU just has a little too much talent. I think that the road, the being on the road is tough. I think Dabo's a good coach, but the mystique of Clemson has gone away. You know what? I think LSU will cover this game. I'm going to say LSU wins this one 31-20. So I'm going to say they cover by a point. LSU finds a way, and, you know, ABC, Saturday night, 7:30. It's a game you should be watching along with the Notre Dame game at the same time. But I do think that LSU-Clemson should be a really good one. I am not a Lane Kiffin guy by nature. I always have been a guy that liked LSU. I think LSU at home, if they get that crowd into it, I think that it's going to be a frenzy there. I'm going to take LSU, Joe.
Well, I think Clemson's going to shock them early. And I'm going to go with that. So that's our week one wrap-up, right? That's our week one predictions.
Is there any game in particular you're looking forward to watch? Which is the one game that you want to make sure you catch this week?
I have to say
a big game and a smaller game. Give me two.
Okay. So I'm definitely going to tune into LSU Clemson on Saturday night, and I'll probably have the second TV on the other game Saturday night, which is the Michigan-Western Michigan game, because I want to keep an eye on that one. But then I'm going to check out Boise and Oregon, and if I had a small one, Liberty and JMU, because I think that's going to be a game that's going to go a long way to determining those outside conferences, which ones have the leg up on the other. It's a good barometer of what's going on.
I think Louisville Ole Miss is the game of the weekend. I think it's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward to that one. If I'm going to take a game that may be a little bit more under the radar, I'm kind of excited to see UCLA-Cal. I want to see Nico go up against JKS. I want to see what they're able to do, these two quarterbacks. I think they're both exciting. I think it makes it great. I wish the game wasn't at 10:30 Eastern time, but I am looking forward to both games. But we have a lot of excitement going on. College football kicking off, Joe. It's our eighth episode, but it's the first one where we have a full slate of games. Yep. I'm pumped. I know you're pumped.
We've got excitement going on. Yep. And then we're going to be back. What night are we going to be back with the wrap-up? We're going to do it Monday night?
Monday night. You guys will have it. You guys will be able to hear it on Tuesday with us.
Perfect.
And here we are. Listen, wrapping the show up again. We are bowl games and brackets, okay? This is what we do. We talk about college football. We talk about college basketball, but we're in college football mode right now. College football is so much more than just wins and losses, Joe, as you know. It's the rivalries, the traditions, the upsets, the heartbreaks, the unforgettable moments that bring us all together. And when the leaves start to fall, which is going to be coming here in the Northeast real soon, the stakes only get higher. Every Saturday feels like it could change everything, and it all starts here with week one. So until next time, keep watching, keep debating, keep believing in your team, and most importantly, keep your brackets sharp and your bowl dreams alive.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.